الحمد لله الذي هدى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين اجتبى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون. صدق الله العظيم.
When we go back into the history of Islam, we find some people in this ummah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with such qualities, such lifestyle, that when you stand looking at their biographies, studying their lives, it looks like these people were not living in this universe, or they were not human beings, like as they were little some different beings. Through the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them such a taqwa, such piety, that the whole world and whatever it contains had no value to them. And they really understood the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this dunya in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not even equal a wing of a mosquito. The value of the dunya is not even as much as a wing of a mosquito to someone else. And the way we value the wings of mosquito, that might be more valuable to us than the whole world is in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know Allah is ghani, independent. He doesn't need anything. And they really followed the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a way that they became part of their lives, part of their natures. When we look at these scholars of Islam, it looks like just the way we feel hungry. When we are thirsty, we feel that we are thirsty, there is need for some water. They used to feel the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just the way we feel our needs and the needs of our body. I have to go to the bathroom, so I feel it. They used to feel the need to do something for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just like a person who has an emergency call from his stomach, which means a natural call by his body, that person has no control over himself but to do whatever he is required to do. Same way when we look at these scholars of Islam, the way they served the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was just as they were feeling that call of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is an emergency call, they can't stop it, they can't help it, they have to go and fulfill that need of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A beautiful example of that is Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah was born around the year 96 of Hijrah, towards the end of Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in's period. So he saw some Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, as Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah says, that he was of Sigar al-Tabi'in, one of the smaller Tabi'in, and younger, smaller Tabi'in simply means the one who have seen less Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. For he was too young when he saw Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. Sayyidina Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, the confusing thing about his life is what to call him. Should we call him a muhaddith? Or should we call him a faqih? Should we call him abid? Should we call him a zahid? You see, or should we call him a mufassir? You see the combination of all of these in Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah. Very amazing. You find only very few people who are really master in all of these fields. There are people who are muhaddithin, they are known to be muhaddithin. And when these muhaddithin, they need a ruling of the fiqh, they used to go to the fuqaha. There are people who are known to be fuqaha. And they're known for their field, and when they need a hadith, they go to muhaddithin. There are people who are mufassirin, they are experts in the tafsir of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. But when they need a hadith, or they need to know about a chain of a narrator of the hadith, about the authenticity of a hadith, or when they need to know a mas'ala of faqhiyya, which means something driven from Quran and hadith, a masail, then they go to those people. And then we find that there are people who are known for their knowledge, they are very deep in the knowledge, and at the same time they have ibadah, a lot of ibadah, but they are not the masters in that field of ubad and zuhad. They don't fall into the list, into that list, because there is Allah, there are a lot of requirements before, especially when we look at, we're not looking at ourselves. For people like me, when I do two extra nawafil, I feel that I became in the I'm in the list of zuhad and ubad. And when I give a couple of dollars to the masjid, then I feel that I'm one of the most generous people. Of course, it's not looking from our point of view and how we value our soul. Subhanallah, this is something very important and other topic for us to ponder into, that these values have changed so badly that nowadays, when we call someone a very virtuous person, that might be a person who just performs the faraid and never has the time to do the sunnah before and after the faraid, and this might be a very great abid. And not to talk about Salat al-Tahajjud and all the other extra prayers that we used to find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performing. A person who does not have time to finish Quran in a month or around that time, and still to our list, he will be in the list of the Ubbah. The values have totally changed. A person who's sleeping the whole night, to us, he's in the list of Ubbah. Really, we need to study the lives and the biographies of these great scholars of Islam so we can understand what is Abid. And who falls into the list of Ubbad according to the real understanding of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are certain things that are required for every believer, for every mu'min, for a mu'min to be a mu'min, and then for a mu'min to be just holding to his deen. When we just hold to these minimum requirements, we ourselves start getting impressed by ourselves and think that we became great Muslims. No, we are just barely holding to our deen. And if we just let go any of the things that we are doing, we may not even be able to hold ourselves into this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, when the Ubbad talk about him, they consider him as their master, their leader. When the fuqaha talk about him, they consider him the master in their field. Subhanallah, this is talking about our great scholars. And when the muhaddithin talk about him, they consider him as one of the greatest of muhaddithin. Very few examples and quick examples in this regard. When it comes to the hadith, after he passed away, because of his level in the hadith and how they respected him in the hadith, they started muhaddithin, started counting how many ahadith they learned on the authority of Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, which means how many ahadith are there where we find in the chain of narrators the name of Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah. So when his students started counting, muhaddithin of that time started counting those ahadith, he had narrated 30,000 ahadith to his students. They learned 30,000 ahadith from him. And he was called Amir al-Mu'mineen fil hadith. This is his level in the hadith. And without going into the details, just for us to understand that how they valued him and how deep he was in this field of hadith. Muhaddithin used to say that when we go to Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah and we sit with him, it doesn't even look like you are sitting around a person who knows anything. You want him to narrate a hadith and he wouldn't speak. And normally when we used to see him and when he's just sitting there, كَأَنَّمَا أُوْقِفَ لِلْحِسَابِ, his situation used to be as he's standing before Allah for the judgment. This is how worried he is about his deeds. This was his situation. فَإِذَا مَا سَأَلْنَاهُ عَنِ الْحَدِيثِ ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ ذَاكَ الْخُشُّورِ فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ حَدَّثَنَا وَحَدَّثَنَا. This is how they used to say. Then when, as soon as we would ask him about a hadith, then right away, the whole situation will change. And now you look at this person and you think he doesn't know anything other than حَدَّثَنَا. All he's doing, حَدَّثَنَا فُلَانًا عَنْ فُلَانًا حَدَّثَنَا فُلَانًا, and he's just continuously narrating the hadith. This is something that those who really love the science of hadith, when you hear these wordings of his students, beautiful wordings, and really makes you feel that you wish you can be just in that gathering, just to see him forget about being in that situation, in that position, that when a person is sitting, his taqwa, his fear of Allah is such that he is standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the judgment, for hisab. This is how worried he is. He used to be shivering, he used to be shaking, and his heart is, they say that we used to hear the cry all the time from his heart, the words of cry is coming from there because of his fear. And he used to tell us that I think that this deen is really going down very fast. If you people need a person like me, if a person like me is needed and people are learning from him, simply means that our situation, the situation of the ummah, is getting very bad. And that used to make him feel that bad, and it used to make him cry. That people of this ummah, that I have seen great people like the situation of Sahaba with their zuhud, with their taqwa, now I see that people need a person like me. Of course, this is being humble, tawadu'a man tawadu'a lillahi rafa'ahu Allah. But this was his real feeling about himself. Why? Because he has seen some other people. And when he is comparing himself with those that he has seen, he doesn't find himself matching those people. And of course, who can be anywhere close to Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in with their zuhud, with their taqwa, with their ibadah? Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in's situation was such that when people, their students are sitting with them and they're sitting quietly, just they're sitting quietly by being around one of those Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, he might be about Anas radiallahu anhu, some of the narrations say that he's working in his garden. But when they go and just see him and they go back, they have a feeling of iman and taqwa. And it stays with them for some time. And after some time, then it goes away. This is how these great people used to feel when seeing Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. So this is why this is his feeling, that people need a person like me. But subhanAllah, if this is his feeling, we start looking now how low everything is gone. Now when we compare ourselves with those type of people, subhanAllah, it looks like even if we were at their time, they won't accept us to be even their students. They won't allow us to be in their galleries. And a person like you wants to study Hadith, you can't stay in this gallery. So anyway, his level of Hadith, this is Amir al-Mu'mineen for Hadith, reading 30,000 Hadith when it comes to fiqh. If you have studied the history of fiqh in Islam, you would know that there were, right now there are four Imams that are well known, four Imams: Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, Imam Malik rahimahullah, Imam Shafi rahimahullah, and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah. But if we look at the history of Islam, you would find that there were six people that were known to be fuqaha, a'imma in fiqh, whose fiqh was, people started following it all around. And then gradually, two of those people's fiqh disappeared and four remained. The two people whose fiqh disappeared, one of them was Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah. He was considered to be Imam in the fiqh. And the second was Imam al-Awza'i rahimahullah. So when it comes to fiqh, he was one of the al-Immal al-Matbu'een, which means the Imam that was followed in fiqh. So this is the situation in Hadith, and look at the situation in the fiqh. When it comes to the tafsir, open any book of tafsir, and you will find narrations on the authority of As-Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah. In fact, many of the ayahs of the Qur'an al-Kareem, where you don't find tafsir from other people, you will find tafsir narrated only on the authority of As-Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah. This is how deep knowledge he had of the tafsir of the Qur'an al-Kareem. When it comes to ibadah, there was a well-known person at his time, Salim ibn Iyad rahimahullah, who was known for his ibadah. And many of the times people say that we saw Fudayl ibn Iyad standing at the door of Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, and if he gets an opportunity, he will massage the feet of Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah. That great abid, the person who's known for that ibadah. So subhanAllah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a person, gives him all of these abilities, Amir al-Mu'mineen in the Hadith, Imam in the fiqh, a person who was respected, and in fact the greatest of the Zuhad and Ubad of his time consider him as their master and their teacher, and then when it comes to tafsir, he's considered subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a person, gives him these abilities. How did he work in these fields? How did he achieve that great wara', taqwa, the fear of Allah? He narrates his honest history. But of course the time won't allow us to continue with it today. Inshallah, in the next session, we will talk about As-Sufyan al-Thawri and how did he achieve to that level, and what was his lifestyle through which he was so blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us and give all of us the hidayah and tawfiq to start getting into these fields of Islam, to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow the steps of sahaba, tabi'een and great scholars of Islam. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فيا عباد الله، يقول الله جل وعلا في كتابه العزيز والفرقان الحميد: وذروا ظاهر الإثم وباطنه، إن الذين يكسبون الإثم سيجزون بما كانوا يقترفون.
وقال جل وعلا في مقام آخر أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها تحدث أخبارها أي تحدث بجميع ما عمل عليه ابن آدم على ظهرها كل عمل يعمله ابن آدم فعليه شهود من الله سبحانه جل وعلا يشهدون له إما بالخير وإما بالشر يشهدون له بكل ما عمل وصنع على ظهر الأرض فأول شاهد على الإنسان كراما كاتبين يعلمون ما تفعلون يكتبون كل شيء يشهدون على بني آدم على جميع أعماله ولكن من من الله سبحانه جل وعلا وكرمه أن الله سبحانه جل وعلا جعل الملك الذي على يمين الإنسان أميرا على الملك الذي على يساره فهو الإمام القرطبي رحمه الله أن الإنسان إذا عصى الله سبحانه جل وعلا فإن الملك الذي على يسار العبد يستأذن الملك عن يمينه في أن يكتب تلك السيئة فلا يسمح له بكتابتها يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى ينتظر 7 ساعات والله أعلم ما المراد بالساعات ينتظر 7 ساعات قبل أن يكتب تلك المعصية قبل أن يسمح له في كتابة تلك المعصية لأن الملك الذي على اليمين أمير على الملك الذي على يساره فإذا مرت 7 ساعات ولم يستغفر الله سبحانه جل وعلا أذن له في كتابتها وإلا لم يؤذن له إن استغفر الله سبحانه جل وعلا خلال تلك 7 ساعات رحمة الله سبحانه جل وعلا واسعة الملك على اليمين أمير على الملك على اليسار ثم إنه إن كتبت تلك السيئة وعمل هذا الشخص حسنة فإن هذا الملك الذي على اليمين يكتب الحسنة ويطلب من الملك الذي على اليسار أن يمحو تلك السيئة اتق الله حيثما كنت وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها فالحسنة تمحو السيئة هذا بعد 7 ساعات ثم إن الإنسان بعد أن عمل تلك السيئة ومرت عليه 7 ساعات ولم يستغفر الله سبحانه جل وعلا في تلك الساعات وكتبت عليه تلك المعصية فإنه إذا استغفر الله سبحانه جل وعلا تمحت سيئة كما نعلم من الآيات ولكن العبد إذا استغفر الله سبحانه جل وعلا ومع هذا الاستغفار كانت ندامته بحيث أنه وعد نفسه ووعد الله سبحانه جل وعلا أنه سيتدارك تلك المعصية بأعمال حسنة أي يزيد في أعماله الحسنة لأنه قد عصى الله سبحانه جل وعلا فمن الندم أحس أن التوبة لا تكفي وإنما يريد أن يعمل شيء أكثر من التوبة فقط فحرص على الأعمال الحسنة فماذا يصير؟ السيئة التي كتبت في كتابي هذه السيئة لا تغفر فقط إنما يبدل الله سبحانه جل وعلا تلك السيئة حسنة فيحصل على الأجر على حسناته وتلك السيئة التي كتبت عليه تصير حسنة فمثلا نام عن الصلاة ونام عن الصلاة عمدا فكانت معصية ومن المعاصي ومن الكبائر ترك الصلاة من الكبائر فلما استيقظ ورأى أنه قد عصى الله سبحانه جل وعلا ووقع في كبيرة
وعلم أنه لا بد أن يرجع وينيب إلى الله سبحانه جل وعلا ويستغفر الله سبحانه جل وعلا. فاستغفر الله سبحانه جل وعلا، ثم أنه فرض على نفسه أن يزيد في النوافل لأنه قد عفى الله سبحانه جل وعلا فساد في نوافله اليومية. فهذه السيئة وهذه الكبيرة التي كتبت عليه لأنه قضى صلاة في حياته ولم يصلها في وقتها، فهذه الكبيرة التي كتبت عليه تلك الكبيرة والسيئة الكبيرة بحجمها وكبرها تصير سيئة تصير حسنة وتكتب في ميزان حسناته. إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما، ومن تاب وعمل صالحا فإنه يتوب إلى الله متابا. هذه رحمة الله سبحانه جل وعلا ورحمته واسعة، فعلينا عباد الله أن ننيب إلى الله سبحانه جل وعلا، نستغفر الله سبحانه جل وعلا عما أسلفنا ونزيد في أعمالنا الصالحة، لأننا قد ظلمنا أنفسنا بمعصية الله سبحانه جل وعلا. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم. أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين في الصفر.